Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 6, 2024. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're continuing on in Bill's story, page 7. You go all the way down to the bottom, and it says, "They did not need to tell me," and we turn over the page, and we will end with, "But that was over now." Today's readers are Lorraine N., Larry G., and Vanessa G. is our backup. The reference numbers for Tuesday, March 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,195, and for this morning, Wednesday, March 6th, the 7 a.m. Eastern reference number is 21,201. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Joanne.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for your service and everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am working on my recovery today, one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will in our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Haven't had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. And Letty G., would you now like to join us and read the 12 traditions of OA, please?
Good morning, everybody. This is Letty from Nevada, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Letty. Excuse me. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers, 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we're going to resume our study in the Big Book in Bill's story, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of page 7. They did not need to tell me, and we will end on page 8 at the end of that paragraph, but that was over now. And I would like to invite Lorraine N. to unmute and begin reading and sharing on this paragraph. Thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone. And a special good morning to the newcomers on the line and anyone in relapse. You're in the right place. Lorraine N., recovered one day at a time in Oregon. They did not need to tell me. I knew and almost welcomed the idea. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge into the dark, joining that endless procession of sots who had gone on before. I thought of my poor wife. There had been much happiness after all. What would I not give to make amends? But that was over now. Oh boy, poor Bill. You know, he's starting to, you know, see that if something doesn't change, he will end up in an asylum or dead. It's a terrible thing to wake up after another horrendous binge, you know, with a head full of OA and a belly full of food, which I have done hundreds of times over the decades. And so, you know, that's the sentence about pride, my false pride. I, who had thought so well of myself, you know, I bought and sold houses. I ran a business for over 20 years. I raised children. but I couldn't get a handle on this compulsive eating. And I didn't know I had an addiction. I thought I was what my mother screamed at me, a big, fat, lazy slob. I just thought I was an out-of-control glutton until I was led to visions. And this is after 40 years in and around. Hello?
Please enter your extension. Press pound when done. Press start.
I don't know what that is.
Somebody's unmuted. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, so I came to visions. I have it marked in the book here, April of 2019, so 5 years now with about 2 solid years of pretty solid abstinence. And I'm at a normal body weight, and I never thought this could happen. I was 68 years old when I came to this program, and I was devastated. My life was in shambles. I was pushing my way up to 200 pounds, and I called into this meeting at the suggestion of an OA friend who gave me the phone number and said, this is a phenomenal meeting. You need to call this number. And I called that next morning, and I've been on this line every morning ever since. I could not believe the recovery that I heard on this line. And so I did what everybody else did because I had the gift of desperation, as they say, and I did what one must do to get a handle on this insidious addiction. I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps and following a food plan. That was the beginning. You know, I had to put the food down. I had to surrender to a higher power. That was the key. And I got to choose my own higher power here. That was another key for me, that I didn't have to believe in the mean God of my indoctrination as a child. So it's been a journey, and I hope and pray that, anybody struggling or newcomers, hang in there, you know, get a sponsor, get another sponsor, get another sponsor. Sponsors introduce themselves every day on
that
line.
That's time, Lorraine.
Blessings on us all. Thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you so much for starting us off. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you came in late while the reading was either being read or shared on, we are still in Bill's story, bottom of page 7, they did not need to tell me. And it ends, that paragraph ends on page 8, but that was over now. And this is the paragraph that we're sharing on today. If you shared on any vision meeting yesterday, today is not the third day. So who would like to share? If you can give me your first name, last initial, and the state
Shanna
that you are calling from. Hi, Shanna.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
Jan L.
Jan L?
Yes. Florida.
Fantastic. Got you. Thank you.
Bruce E.
Bruce, thank you.
Jessica C.
Thank you, Jessica. Anyone else on this first round would like to join? All right. So if everyone can mute their line except for Shana C. And Shana, join us and please come in and share on this paragraph.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Shana C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from East Tennessee, Knoxville area. So sorry I jumped in so fast there. I got a little excited, I guess. And anyway, thanks for chairing the meeting. And this paragraph means a lot to me. They did not need to tell me. I already knew. Like, I get that. Devastating blow to my ego. I didn't know what an ego was until I got into recovery. Devastating blow to my pride. I didn't know I had pride until I got into recovery. I just knew that I had carried with me for so long that I can't stop eating once I start. I can't stop obsessing over the food. I can't stop obsessing over my weight. I can't stop trying a new diet. I can't go out to eat. and eat just a little something like a normal person does and walk, push myself away from the table. And I had just accepted the fact that unless I become a different person, I'm going to suffer with this the absolute rest of my life. And one of the lies that I was believing and didn't know I was believing was that whatever God of my understanding was at the time, I believed that this just wasn't that important to him, that I had too much to be grateful for without worrying about a bunch of food. You know, who cares if you're fat? Who cares? Like, there are bigger fish to fry. There are people dying of cancer and all these things. And you're worried about your weight? I mean, come on. You got to die of something. I mean, everybody suffers with something. This is yours. Get over it. You know, go help somebody. Those are the kinds of thoughts that I had that kept me blocked off from the true understanding that there is a God that really loves us compulsive overeaters just as much as he loves the alcoholics that have gotten well, that love the codependent, I mean, the drug addicts that have gotten well. Like, this is just as real for me as it is for any of them. I matter too. And I'm so grateful that by the time I'd gotten to that point, had that glimmer of willingness to believe that God, the God of my understanding, cared about this as well, that there were people here that I could identify with this problem that I had too. Like, I'm not alone. Like, there are people on this line that think about food the way that I do, left to my own devices. Like, seriously, what a gift this fellowship is. More so, what a gift it is to have a way to live now to where I don't have to pick up the food like I did. But I get
time
to eat.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I get to eat the way I always felt I should and wanted to, but didn't have the power to do so. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Next, Jan L. from Florida. Would you like to unmute and share on this paragraph?
Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida. I'm so happy to be on this line of this amazing meeting. Thank you all for doing service on this meeting. And I'm growing closer and closer to being a part of the herd as I work this program, and it's wonderful. So this paragraph, you know, before this paragraph, Bill, he thought he had the knowledge that he needed to deal with this problem. And then he gets into this paragraph, you know, he had relapsed again. And then this paragraph comes where he thought so well, he says, I thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles. I was cornered at last. I, who had thought all that, was cornered at last. So it's just the cycle of his knowing, of his thinking he has the answer. He talks about the losses. He wished he could, you know, he could repair the past. He lost the family, or he was regretful about the family, but that was over now. And I just went through all that with the food. And I had to inch my way toward being willing to do all the things that I heard that people did on this line. And before I found this line, I was in other meetings for decades. And I thought it was all self-knowledge. I would get bits of recovery based on faith in God, but I wasn't doing all the steps. Or I was eating a certain food plan where I could eat all of what I wanted of this or that. So I just had to, little by little, I'm so stubborn, and I couldn't see it at all at the time. But I will say this, I never quit. I, especially once I finally got a vision sponsor and got entirely abstinent. Did I still relapse after that? Yes. Do I still have tons to learn? Yes, I'm newly recovered. But somebody said the only thing you can do wrong is quit. You have to just do it to the best of your ability. You don't know how long, what the outcome will be, but if you keep doing the program as it's stated in this book, and as you hear people talk about on this line, and if you do the entire abstinence and you just keep forging ahead and recognize that this recovery is yours to fight for. Eventually, my knowing got out of the way, and my knowing was a big block. It still is. I thought I had surrendered to God, and my knowing was still in the way. I still think there's more trusting that needs to happen for me to move forward. So I just keep going and work towards this. So I just want to thank you. Tell all the newcomers to just give yourself to this and move forward and don't stop, and it'll happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan L. in Florida. And next we'll go to Bruce E., who I believe is also in Florida.
Yeah, I sure am. I'm down in Southwest Florida. I'm in Fort Myers. Bruce E., I'm a recovered food addict and really grateful to be on this line and grateful that I can share on this tremendous piece of literature here. And they did not need to tell me. I knew I almost welcomed the idea. Yeah, well, so I'm down here. I was living in Central Florida at the time, and I had this idea that if I go from Monday through Friday and I eat nothing, just drink water, and then I could eat, I guess, anything I want on the weekends, you know. And so I had that idea, and I did that for a while. And then one time I'm down to like 4 days, you know, no food. And then, somebody pushed a donut my way. And then I ate, I don't know how many donuts, but, you know, talk about racking my physical system with this disease. And then, you know, they didn't need to tell me, but I did. I went to a seminar type thing, and they talked about this disease. And then I called a woman that put the seminar on. She said, yeah, you got this. You got to go to a meeting and stuff like this. She told me, but I didn't even need to be told, that something I was doing wasn't right. You know, I was very sick person. Still am sick, but really, really sick. But that was a devastating blow to my pride, because I'd been doing pretty good. I'd just gotten started in business 35 years ago. I looked like things were looking up. It looked like maybe I was going to make it. And I had three good wives, you know, just like it talks about in here. There had been much happiness after all, you know. I thought of my poor wife, there'd been much happiness after all. So I had a good wife and four kids, really. And, everything to look forward to. And I'm racked with this disease of food addiction, you know. And here I'm thinking, you know, if I hadn't got well, here's where I was going. Plunge into the dark, join in the endless procession of sots who had gone before me, as habitual alcoholics, the habitual food addicts that had gone before me and just died in the disease. What a terrible way to die in the disease of food addiction. That's the way I was going. You know, I was heading there. But there was help. I got into OA and finally got into Vision after many years of struggle in OA. Really struggled in OA.
That's time, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally got in here, and I'm very happy to be here. Very grateful. And I pass.
And next we have Jessica C. And Jessica, if you could tell us all where you're calling from this morning.
Hi. Thanks, Susan. This is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. This passage just reminds me of, you know, when I was binging in OA, coming to this meeting, but still compulsively eating. And I did most of my eating at night, and I would wake up in the morning during the week and just feel absolutely terrible, just physically awful, mentally and spiritually just miserable. And like I said, I was coming to this meeting and hearing about the solution, but I just was so afraid of what life would look like for me being entirely abstinent. I knew that I had to, I couldn't eat, like, I knew that I had to give up things like alcohol because that was the gateway for me to the food. I was so afraid of, you know, would I have a social life? Would people think I was weird if I would, you know, was, you know, not eating like them or weighing and measuring my food? I just couldn't imagine a life like that. And so I had to, you know, I kept binging. I had to be knocked down even harder by eventually developing an addiction on a binge eating disorder medication, which is a powerful stimulant. But that was so untrue. That was so dishonest to think that my life would not be interesting being in recovery, because the truth is that, you know, my life has opened up. It's become so much more expansive and meaningful being in recovery. You know, I got the opportunity to go to the OA birthday party a few months ago, and it's so nice to hear some of those voices on this line. You know, I've developed friendships. I'm useful. And a lot of the fear has gone away for me. And so I just want to offer that up to anyone who is listening and might be where I was, you know, thinking, you know, life is awful in the food, but I'm afraid of what it will look like in recovery. Your disease is probably lying to you about what it will look like. And it's going to become a lot better if you, you know, really throw yourself into this program. I know it has for me. So yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much, Susan.
Thank you, Jessica. And before we take the next roundup of names, as a reminder, the paragraph that we're sharing on is in Bill's story, bottom of page 7. They did not need to tell me, over on page 8, but that was over now. And again, we ask that everybody limit their sharing to every third day so that others may have time to share their experiences too. So if you would like to unmute and share, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Nadia.
I heard Nadia.
Barbara.
Barbara G. And then somebody in California, a gentleman.
Tom L.
Tom, good morning. Thank you. Anyone else like to join this group?
Janice K.
Nancy J. Thank you. Nancy, what was your last initial, please?
J in California.
J. Thank you. All right. So I've got Nadia B, Barbara G, Tom L, Janice K, and Nancy J. Nadia, if everyone else can mute, and Nadia, if you can remain unmuted and share with us, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, for your service. Nadia B, gratefully recovered in Connecticut. I love this paragraph, and it's so good to be here on the line with you guys. It's such a great family, and I'm so happy I don't have to do this alone. And when I read, when someone read this paragraph, it really, you know, I got shivers, because you can hear that fear in Bill's voice as we can think about, because I think historically somewhere that I read, it was that they didn't tell him that he overheard, I think it was Dr. Silkworth, one of his providers, was talking to Lois and saying, you know, Bill is basically toast. If he doesn't stop this, he's going to basically deteriorate to the point where he's going to die. And, you know, Bill knows it, and you can feel it. And I think that why it's so emotional for me, because nobody needed to tell me, you know, not a husband, not parents, not doctors, because I've been to so many. And, you know, and I didn't know how to stop. I just didn't, and neither did Bill. At that point, he knew there was nothing for him anymore, and he's staring death in the face. And I think, you know, many of us and as many people that I know that are in recovery today probably have had that day, and I know I did too. And if you are in that place, we know what it feels like, and that's what Bill is trying to describe to me, that if you're feeling the way I'm feeling, you know, there is the way out. There is the rest of this book. But, you know, at this point, I have compassion for Bill because Bill has everything to live for. He has a wife like I did, you know, and a family, and, you know, he wasn't stupid. He could provide for himself. But this that seemed so easy to everybody else, is impossible for Bill. So Bill feels so different about this, you know, knowing that he cannot pull himself out of the mud by the bootstraps. And that's where, you know, I feel where I've come to. And if you've come to that, there is a place. And that's why, you know, it's so important for me to be here, because, you know, I am a different species when it comes to food, and then when it comes to life, as I've come to understand through the workings of the 12 steps. I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful you guys are here, and I'm grateful for Bill and Dr. Silkworth, and that, you know, experience
you,
that
Nadia.
He's had. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Next up, we have Barbara G. And Barbara G., if you can share with everyone where you're calling from this morning.
Sure. Good morning, Susan. My name is Barbara G. I usually am in Paris, but this morning I'm calling from LA. And I am very grateful of all the recovery I'm hearing on this line, which is a meeting, because it's a meeting I don't usually go to. I usually do the 7 a.m. And so it's wonderful to wake up and to this very new whatever I'm going through, and hearing recovery and the recovery I needed, because this paragraph this morning gave me the chance to reflect upon the blessings that my life is absolutely that I have received, and it all starts from the desperation I heard in that paragraph for me, or better, rather than it all starts there, that point where Bill is just spurs my infinite gratitude for where I am today, because in the lines I heard how atrocious this disease can be. I could identify with Bill in regard with his relationship to his dear ones, and in my case it was my sister and it was my mom. I was absolutely without hope of being able to recover those relationships with them, because for years in the disease I had been the worst Barbara that could exist on earth. I was angry. I was outrageous. I didn't know gratitude. I was close-minded. I was full of resentments. I thought it was right, and I thought I was a victim, and that they owed me the beautiful life I didn't had the chance to. I hadn't had the chance to live, and so food just fueled this insanity of the mind, and I was stuck there, and I was stuck there for years. And when I joined, and I've been in OA for 24 years, and that was in OA. That was in OA because I had not put the food down. But it was in August 2018 that God gave me the grace to find Vision for You and to put the food down completely and to start working the steps completely. And in this last, 6 years? In these last 6 years, I've been able to recover those relationships thanks to the steps. I have done the amends, and I've been transformed, and I need to be transformed every day, because I wake up and that insanity of the mind wakes up with me, and I need to plug in my higher power, which is my only hope, because my dilemma is lack of power, and then take the hand of those like you who work the same path that I do. And so let's see with the spirit what type of a day my higher power has in store for me. And I thank you all. I may move to California soon, depending on what will for me, and I pass. So I'm looking forward to make friends with all of you on the West Coast, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Barbara, and welcome to California. And staying in California, Tom L., would you like to unmute and join us, please?
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. Very glad to be here. When I'm in my disease, the last thing I want to do is come to an OA meeting. And for 2.5 years, I have wanted to come to OA meetings every day, which is amazing. Whenever I read this, of course, I go to my, where did I have a medical intervention? I was in my late 20s, and I'd been living on disability for several years in a basement apartment, which was kind of a nasty place, but it had internet, it had cable TV, and there was a grocery store nearby, which I could get to. I was very, very heavy, but you know, I could still walk. And then in the middle of the night, my heart started skipping beats, and that happens, and then it didn't stop skipping beats. And I had this chill feeling that I could die right now, and maybe I should go to the hospital. So I don't want to call 911. I'm embarrassed about what my apartment looks like. You know, I'm several hundred pounds overweight. I don't have clothes that fit. I got to get to a hospital. So that scared me to go. And I don't know what the doctors, what they perceived when I came in, but they never mentioned my weight. They took x-rays of my chest, and they said, you have, they pointed to the 3 inches of fat that kind of surrounded the lungs, you know, the shell that I was in. And I'm not sure what happened. They sent me home with some medication, and I went back exactly to the life that I had been living. I was gravitationally pulled to it. There was no way out. I knew that was the life I had to live. It wasn't stable anymore. And that's the trouble with my disease. I can't find a low level that I can stay at. I always go deeper or heavier or sicker. Bill was told this. he knew there was no way out. And this is several months before he met Ebby. So for several months, he went back to drinking after Armistice Day. And he thought of his poor wife, you know, and I know why he did that, because she was his only reason he wasn't homeless, and or it would be very difficult to find another home with someone else in his shape. He was probably thinking, I got to keep her on my side somehow, because there's no way out. The amazing thing happened, and God didn't occur to him, and it didn't occur to me. My visit to the hospital happened like 6 years before I came to OA. I had some spiritual flashes here and there in my life, but never would I think that was a solution. And many years after I came to OA in 2002, I just thought it was, you know, I just have to get my mind right. You know, I have to know enough, be disciplined enough. It turns out that's not the case. The only way I can be continuously sober with food is if I give part of myself over to something I can't see.
That's time, Tom.
And I do that by working the steps of the sponsor. I can't explain it any more than that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. And next, Janice Kay. And Janice, if you can let us know where you're calling from this morning, please.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Janice Kay in Oregon. Oh, boy. What strikes me here is that this is so clearly that Bill is in self-will. And I know that because I've been there before. They did not need to tell me. He knew and almost welcomed the idea. Well, you know, if you die of a heart attack, at least it's over. You don't have to face the devastating blow to your pride. That was how I was raised. Had to be perfect, had to look good, had to be smart. Well, I existed in such a tumult of self-will, I thought I flunked on all counts. Because it turns out the self-will has no sense of proportion. The only thing the self-will knows how to do is to beat oneself up. He is demoralized. He is cornered. He joins an endless procession. He thinks of the poor wife. there had been much happiness. It's difficult to respond to that, having been the spouse of an active alcoholic. He thought of his poor wife. There had been much happiness. Okay, Bill, we'll give you that. What I would not give to make amends. I did it wrong. I have to do it right. When I am in self-will, when I was in self-will, because I really seek not to be now, but when I am in self-will, if I am wrong, I take the full blame, and I walk right through a door. There are decision points in life. There's a great big door with a flashing neon sign that says, shame, guilt, blame, shame, guilt, blame. And if I decide wrong, I have to go through that door because it's the only one I will fit through. If, on the other hand, I hit the decision point and I can say, oh God, here I am, human again. Help me with this, would you? Then I can lose enough ego to shrink down to see the other door. And the other door is marked humility. And I can choose to go through the little door when I get rid of self-will. I suspect people are just born into self-will and it's part of our DNA. And we overcome it a day at a time, a meal at a time.
That's time, Janet.
As best we can. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, Nancy J. And Nancy, if you can tell us where you're calling from this morning. Thank you. Nancy, star one to unmute. Okay, maybe Nancy had to leave. Okay, well, we will have time for a few more
hello?
Shares.
Nancy,
hello, hello. Is that you?
Yes, I'm so sorry.
Okay, okay, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Thank you for bearing with me. Good morning, Nancy J., California. So grateful I'm recovered. So grateful for this paragraph. So grateful for this meeting. So I realized I'm at a bottom from this paragraph today. And I, so I'm just trying to, I'm right there. So warning, this could be a little unloading. But I've been having trouble at work with a particular coworker. And I've just been, it's driving me insane. The issues are driving me insane. I've done 2,228 10 steps on this relationship, on and on. I realized from this paragraph this morning that I am backed up in a corner here. Food was my answer to my problem. My problem is life. Food was my answer. I've taken away food. It's been almost 14 months now. Food's gone off the table. My answer today is controlling this woman, is playing queen at work, is being, you know, I'm a nurse and I'm like freaking Florence Nightingale here, you know, Game of Thrones. I work at a local surgery center. This is the end of my career. It's a small surgery center. That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 patients a day. It's not brain surgery. And I am Queen of Sheba. And I'm just banging my head on the wall. And I'm like, my God, this morning with this paragraph, what the heck? This is not serenity. This is not what these people speak of. This is not what I have, where I have been. This is insanity. Food is not my problem. Life is my problem. My answer today has been controlling this woman and just being full of just self. And I gave it up this morning. I was on at the early meeting. I'm in California. And I tell you what, I'm turning that over. And I've done some writing. I'm going to keep sharing this. I'm super grateful. I actually have hope today. that there could be an end to this, me drinking that poison and waiting for this gal to die. I am not her higher power. I am not my own higher power, but I've been playing it. So anyway, Nancy J in California, thank you so much. Thank God for this program, these steps, and my higher power. And I just relinquish control in my life to my higher power.
Hi, Nancy.
Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you. And it looks like we have time for one more share. Nobody has a desire to share on this paragraph. You came in late, bottom of page 7. They did not need to tell me.
Sylvia T.
Okay, Sylvia, you may take it. Go ahead, please.
Hi, everybody.
Tell us where you're calling from.
Sylvia T. from Illinois, grateful for this meeting. I heard so much of what I needed to hear. And the food is down. And so my defects are out, and it's like I need this program to be a solution for the way that I lived, because the way that I lived was not sane, and I just, the food is down, and now I have to work the steps, and it's so evident in my life that food was the solution to my problems, and just being on this meeting and hearing the reading, I don't want to go back to that old way of life. And with that, I pass.
Oh, okay. Does anybody else want to share? We have a little bit more time. Anyone have a burning desire?
Hi, Sue. I would like to share.
Who's this?
Joanne L. from Rhode Island.
Okay, Joanne. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Hi, everybody. It's Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and all I really want to say is this. You know what? I've been coming for 1,000 years, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming for. It doesn't matter, you know, how much you weigh, if you're in the food, if you're out of the food, if you're recovered, not recovered. It's just that I want to say this. No matter what, don't leave before the miracle happens. Just keep coming back no matter what. Just even if you don't feel like it, pick up the phone, listen to these meetings, go on other meetings. And somebody else did say it too. If one sponsor's not working for you, you get another sponsor. And but just keep coming. Don't give up the ship no matter what, because the miracle will happen. Somewhere, somehow, sometime, you're going to hear something that's going to click. And all of a sudden, that's it. Then you'll start, you know, getting on the bandwagon. You'll join us on the happy road, on the road to happy destiny. So that's all I want to share. Thanks, Sue. I pass.
Thank you. Perfect timing. Everyone can stay muted. Okay, here we are. Wednesday's March. Thank you to Lorraine N., who read the text for us this morning, Larry G., who's going to read for us in a moment. Vanessa G. was our backup today. And thank you, Joanne L. and Letty G., for reading the steps and traditions. If you are new, if you're in need of a sponsor, please stay on the meeting. Cheryl S. will be our newcomer greeter, and Eileen M. has some announcements for us. Okay, so we're now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Larry G., will you please unmute and read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Yeah, Larry G. from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him, to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.